Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast. And if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Well, good morning, WCC. Glad to see all of you here today. Those of you watching online, great to have you joining us on week three of our series on the Holy Spirit. Now, Nick kicked off the series 3 weeks ago by talking about how the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So we refer to the Holy Spirit as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's the three aspects of God, and it's Jesus living in us. And then last week, Sam talked about how so often we ask that we'd be filled more with the Holy Spirit, that we'd get more of the Holy Spirit, when the reality is we already have all of Him. He needs to get more of us. And so the Holy Spirit has been, over the years, a bit of a controversial topic, and probably for good reason, because the enemy does not want us to understand who the Holy Spirit is and how He operates, because he would like to keep us in the dark. But God has a different desire and a different thing that He'd like to do. You know, as a new Christian, I remember very early on in my Christian walk, there was this debate over, you know, the Holy Spirit's role in our lives. You know, Cookie and I both came to Christ in the late 70s at Ohio University, and this was kind of toward the tail end of the Jesus movement. And God was doing some really amazing things throughout the world, throughout the country, on college campuses all over the U.S., and there were so many of us at a state university that were coming to Christ. And so we had like three really awesome churches on our campus, and Cookie and I would take turns, and we were kind of church hoppers then because we loved these churches. The one where kind of my spiritual father was a pastor was an Assemblies of God church. You know, Nick talked a few weeks ago about how he's kind of a spiritual mutt, that he's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I'm an ethnic Methodist. I was baptized as a baby in a Methodist church by my great-grandfather. So I've got that in my blood. And then I came to Christ, and not to say you can't be a Methodist and be a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. Because one of the churches we went to at OU was a charismatic Methodist church, which sounds a bit like an oxymoron. And then we went to a Wesleyan church that was not charismatic at all. And you know, when we started WCC years ago as a non-denominational church, we had to figure out how to navigate all of the different flavors of Christianity, especially as it relates to the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing about the Holy Spirit that I came to realize pretty early on in seminary. The debate as young Christians on that college campus in Athens, Ohio, 40-some years ago, the debate was, hey, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? As opposed to what? Just a Christian? And what the thing was, I began to understand the Bible, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me, because when you come to Christ, either you are or you aren't a Christian. If you're Spirit-filled, you're a Christian. If you're not, you're not. And I like the way J.I. Packer puts it. He, very influential in my early years as a Christian, a classic book of his, and I would highly recommend it. It's probably still in print somewhere or on your Kindle, but it's called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. And in this book, he talks about this. He said, the Christian's life in all its aspects, intellectual and ethical, devotional and relational, upsurging in worship and outgoing in witness, is supernatural. Only the Spirit can initiate and sustain it. So apart from Him, not only will there be no lively believers and no lively congregations, there will be no believers and no congregations at all. And what he's saying is, if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's because you have not received Jesus yet into your life. Now, the issue is now that you are a Christian and you are a believer and you've received Jesus into your life and you are fully 100% filled with 100% of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, not an it, a he, the Holy Spirit, what are you going to do with that? And that's what we're going to talk about today. I think, you know, Nick and Sam have done a great job of kind of setting this up and talking about the theology and the nature and identity of the Holy Spirit. Now let's get personal today. What's the Holy Spirit's role in our life? And why do we want the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Holy Spirit? And so what I'm going to talk about is a couple things today, actually three: the right reason for wanting the Holy Spirit, the wrong reasons for wanting the Holy Spirit, and some obstacles to us experiencing the fullness of His ministry in our lives. Let's dive into the right reason for wanting the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians. Now, if you read Paul's letters to the Corinthian churches, first of all, it'll make you feel better about all the problems we have in churches today. People say, well, you know, I want to be a New Testament church. Have you ever read about the New Testament church? They were as messy and as messed up as we are today, and none greater than the church in Corinth. The Corinth was a very modern seaport, much like our world today in ancient terms. And man, there was division and bickering and arguing over who was greatest and who had the greatest gifts. And there were and so Paul goes, he wanted to just clarify these corrective letters, and I think he does it in one verse, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. This is the right reason. This is the reason we should want the Holy Spirit's ministry in our lives. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. That's all, you too, you and me, each of us, so we can help each other. In the NIV, it says, for the common good of the body. And you know, let's face it, in our culture today, the church is taking a beating. You know, I was just reading last week, maybe you read too, you know, the Church of God here in Warsaw closed its doors because they just had dwindled. And I don't think there was any particular scandalous reason for that. It just dwindled. And I find more and more people, as they deconstruct their faith, are not reconstructing it with anything and are just walking away from the gathered church saying, well, I don't really need church. Well, there's one very basic problem with that. You are the church, so you can't walk away from the church because wherever you go, there you are. And you know, I also hear people, you know, I just hear people talking about the church in pretty negative terms. Now, I get it. There have been all kinds of bad things and scandals and all of that, but that's always been the case. We're filled with imperfect people. And, you know, it's almost humorous to me now when I hear people go, well, you know, I don't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. Guilty as charged. Yeah. We're sinners saved by grace, right? Amen. Now, The problem is when Christians start ragging on the church, I think that grieves God deeply because we are His bride. And I know how I feel when people talk about my bride negatively. I get pretty defensive. And so the question I have for you, you know, Carrie Newhoff, who's one of my very favorite authors and podcasters, and not that I listen to a lot of podcasts, but lives in Canada, was a pastor up there, and just brilliant when it comes to kind of having a pulse beat on the church. And he said, you know, so many people left the church and have not returned when COVID hit. And, you know, you naturally think, and he said it's a big reason. One of the reasons is because fear of sickness, health, gatherings, all that kind of stuff. But you know what the number one reason people have not come back to church since COVID is? They've lost interest. Like, what? Lost interest? Like, what do you mean you've lost interest? Are you just, you weren't all that interested in the first place or what? And here's a question I have for all of you. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you love the church? I don't mean just WCC, but the church, the body of Christ, the ecclesia. How much do you love the church? If we love the church, we should tap into all the Holy Spirit has given us in terms of our giftedness for the common good of His church, to build up His church. You and I all have a role to play in that. God has gifted us for such a time and such a reason. And without us using our gifts, churches die. And to hold on to that is misusing the power that resides in you. You know, Paul in Philippians chapter 1 talks about this. He says, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Because he was persecuted, imprisoned, tortured, beaten, everything. But here's how he goes on. He says, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me, as he writes from prison. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I am convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. The right reason for wanting all of the Holy Spirit and all of his power in your life is to build up the body and for the common good of others. Now, the wrong reasons for wanting the Holy Spirit in your life. I just want to touch on a couple because there are probably many more than that. But the two that I'm going to touch on are, why do we want the Holy Spirit? Well, the first reason, wrong reason, is for attention. This was a huge problem in the church in Corinth. People were like, hey, look at me. I'm more spiritual than you because I have this gift and you don't. And Paul even addresses, he goes, listen, just because you have a more obvious and more public gift doesn't make you better than or more holy than. But don't we've always tended to do that. We kind of put people who have the public gifts way up here, like somehow or another, that's more important. And he goes, no. Paul has this whole section on every part of the body is completely necessary. You know what separates us from the animal kingdom? Simple. I learned this. Now, maybe you're going to correct me. Our thumbs. That's what separates us from everybody else. We have thumbs. Google it, okay? Google's always right. But we... every part of the body is important. You know, and we've seen a lot of this in our churches today, haven't we? I mean, you know, think about it. You know, people where we've been, and I believe sign gifts are still there. There's a reason God kind of does miracles and stuff like that. But whenever somebody like is part of a sign gift, like let's say a healing or something like that, suddenly we elevate them and they can start a whole ministry and we put them up on this pedestal almost, and it creates kind of a caste system of spirituality. You know, the really spiritual people who do those things and the people who aren't quite so spiritual. And then, you know, the attention. You know, I've been in churches where, like, there's prophecy. Somebody prophesies something. And really, like, so here's my deal with prophecy. And I have people sometimes say to me, well, you know, Denny, God told me to tell you. I've got this gift of prophecy. And I'm like, and I used to really struggle with this. Like, well, how do you argue with that? God told me to tell you. I'm not going to argue with God, but I might argue with you. And what my response is now is, thank you very much for sharing that with me. I'll be listening to him to see if what you said is true. And it better line up with the scriptures. And also, I've been in congregations, and again, please bear with me. I mean, I'm all the above when it comes to my belief in the Holy Spirit. I've been in churches where there's a prophecy given in a worship service. And if it's in King James, it's not of God. You're like, what? If somebody starts out with, thus saith the Lord, we don't talk like that anymore. Why wouldn't God talk in contemporary terms to the people he's trying to communicate to so that we can hear him? Also, if somebody stands up and speaks in tongues in a service, please don't. But if you do, I'm going to wait for interpretation. And if there's not, then somebody's disobedient. So that's a lot of pressure on you. And I feel like people have asked over the years, well, why don't we do that at WCC? Well, it's not like we don't believe it's possible. Now I'm making some of you really, really nervous. And some of you really, really excited. I think God has called us to be something a little different, where we're going to come together and we're going to focus on what we agree on, and that is that Jesus is God in the flesh, died for our sins, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, and sends back his Holy Spirit, right? We're going to agree on that, regardless of what backgrounds we grew up in. We want to keep this a very, very safe and at the same time, powerful congregation. I got way off my notes on that one, but I feel pretty strongly about that.
Spirit-led.
Yeah, spirit-led. I'm glad you still think that. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:12, and the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. You know, one of the ways I've seen this abused is, you know, a lot of pastors who maybe have a gift of speaking, people, you know, put them up here and they sometimes believe that. And that is a very dangerous place for a pastor to be. So here's what I do, because I'm not naturally endowed with the gift of humility. My parents loved me far too much, so I'm still trying to undo some of that. Every single Sunday, every single service, I just did it down here, and I'm not saying this to make myself seem all spiritual. It's just exactly the opposite, because I know I'm not all spiritual all the time. During worship, at some point, I'll pray for all of you, and then I'll pray for myself. I'll present myself to God. These are the exact words I use, and I know I've shared this before, but for some of you who may not remember, I'm like, God, I present myself to you as a living sacrifice. And I pray that my sacrifice to you today is holy and pleasing in your sight. I pray that what I say would be exactly what you want me to say and exactly the way you want me to say it. That takes me out of the equation. Because the best advice I ever got on preaching was this. It's not so much, Denny, what you say as a preacher. It's what the Holy Spirit does with what you say from the time it leaves your mouth and the hearer receives it. And I believe that with all of my heart. There's good preaching and there's anointed preaching. And there's a difference. I am not a good motivational speaker. If it doesn't have to do with God's word, I'm okay. But you don't want to hire me for that. If you want to hire me to preach, that's fine, but not for that. Anyway, again, I can't imagine what's going to happen the next service. Anyway, a second wrong reason is miracles. Too oftentimes we focus on the gifts instead of the giver of the gifts, right? I mean, wouldn't we all love to just see miracles on a regular basis? I would absolutely love to see somebody raised from the dead. That would be awesome, and my faith, I think, would be strengthened, maybe. How about yours? Or is somebody walking on water? I mean, just a basic run-of-the-mill miracle. I'm not asking for much. I'm tired of people's back pain being healed because you can't see that. Now, my back hurts a little, so I would love some of that, but you can't see it. And I know as a young believer, I wanted to see miracles. I really, really, really did because I believe God performs miracles. So the summer before Cookie and I got married, I was living in Cincinnati with my dad and stepmom, and my best friend who was home from IU that summer, we were childhood friends. He and I had both just come to Christ, and so we are like, we heard about this church. It was a Pentecostal Church of God, Princeton Pike Church of God. It met in Hamilton, Ohio on Sunday nights. Now, you have to understand, south of 70, you know, we're a little bit Kentucky, a little bit Ohio, a little bit down in the hills, you know. So, I mean, it gets pretty wild sometimes. And so we go to this church. And it seemed pretty normal at first, a Sunday night service. So, you know, Sunday nights are where they really cut loose. And so we're standing there. The worship is great, the singing, the preaching, and all that. All of a sudden, man, one guy, then the next guy, then the next guy. I mean, they're sprinting up and down the aisles. People are laying on the floor. They're dancing. They're singing. And I was afraid some little old lady was going to step out in the aisle and just get flattened by some of these guys. I mean, they are sprinting right down the aisle. And then it gets better. People come forward. And I've seen altar calls, but not like this. People were being slain in the spirit left and right, left and right, left and right. And my buddy says, I'm going to go up. I want to see what that's all about. And I'm like, okay, I won't be right behind you. I was climbing up on my chair because I'm afraid of snakes and I was just expecting them to come crawling along the aisle. Well, it didn't happen. So, what was that? I don't know. But I wanted to see miracles. I wanted to see something supernatural. I think that's okay, but that can't be our focus. That can't be our desire. Miracles are never an end in and of themselves. They're always to elevate Christ. All right, so what are some obstacles that keep us from fully living in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, the first one, I think, is probably our biggest challenge. It's comfort. It's comfort. If the Holy Spirit is the comforter, why do I need to be comforted? You know what I'm saying? I mean, and I think this is, I'm glad I live in a comfortable place, but I don't know about you. I feel closest to the Holy Spirit, most reliant on Him when I'm going through a challenging time in my life or facing a major decision or a sickness or praying for somebody. that I love. And I just think that, you know, our comfort, we're so comfortable. It's like, well, do I really need the Holy Spirit? And I was really convicted of this a couple weeks ago. I went down to Honduras for a week with H&H to see some of the work. They're one of our big partners. And we went to 4 villages in 4 days that week. And I'd been to 2 of the villages several times over the years. And this third village I went to, named La Cuchilla, it's in a floodplain. This place just got wiped out about 3 or 4 years ago. You may remember we took up an offering to, you know, actually to rescue some of the people because they had to get out by boats. But anyway, so they're rebuilding and doing a lot of great stuff down there. And we were planning on having a church service down there at 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, the Thursday that we were there. And the pastor had asked me if I would be willing to preach. And I'm like, well, I didn't prepare anything. He goes, it's okay. I said, why don't you preach? He goes, no, I want you to preach. And so you say yes. And so like it did every day we were down there, about 3 o'clock, it started pouring. Now remember, we're in a floodplain, okay? And it was wet when we came in because it rains every day. It's pouring and pouring and pouring. And this church in this village is at the farthest edge of the village. It's probably a mile for some to walk because nobody has cars really. And we barely got there in this truck we were in. And so it's pouring and I'm just thinking, you know, we're not going to have church. Nobody's going to show up. So, you know, that's fine. I'm ready to go home. It's, you know, it's 95 degrees with 100% humidity anyway. I don't have anything prepared. So maybe God just loves me enough to spare me. We get to this little church. There's the pastor and his wife and his teenage son and his young son, which comprises the entire worship team and staff, face down on their knees on the altar praying. And I'm like thinking in my head, why? Let's just go home. Nobody's going to show up. Why would you even bother? It's, you know, it's like the equivalent of a snowstorm here in January. Let's just call it. And I see this, and I'm like, their house got destroyed by a flood 2 or 3 years before. They're living in a temporary house. This little church building, it's like a pavilion with this beat-up sound system, duct tape on the snare drum. I mean, it's like, why are we bothering? And it's like the Holy Spirit goes, are you even a Christian? I was like, am I even a Christian? My faith, it was convicting. Let's put it that way. And I realized, spiritually, I've gotten a little soft. It's too comfortable sometimes. Not that I should go look for discomfort, but comfort is not our friend necessarily when it comes to the Holy Spirit's movement in our lives. So do we place ourselves in uncomfortable situations for the sake of the kingdom? If we're not regularly doing that, we're not going to exercise that faith muscle very much. So don't go looking for trouble. It will find you, but look for opportunities to step outside of your comfort zone for the sake of Christ. There's a second reason obstacle, I think, and that is the volume of our lives. I mean, let's face it, we are plugged in 24/7 in our culture today. I mean, you know, news, social media, weather, everything, sports. I mean, you can, it's all right there on your little, you know, mobile device. And I think this distracts us. I think sometimes the volume is so loud in our lives, the noise is so loud in our lives that we can't hear that small, still voice of the Holy Spirit residing in us. And you know, Jesus regularly, during the busiest times of ministry for him, would just kind of go off by himself to be with the Father. And one such case is in the first chapter of Mark, where he is just beginning to really become public with his earthly ministry, and he's bringing healing, teaching, and all that. And we read in verse 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Now you're like, well, now why would Jesus need to pray? He was God. He knew all this stuff, right? And I talked about this a few weeks ago in our series on James, when I was talking about faith, healing, and all that, and that text in James 4. Jesus had perfect faith, but by his own choice, incomplete knowledge. Now in heaven, God is all-knowing. But when God came to earth, it's called this, it's a kenosis doctrine. If you should check it out, it's actually quite fascinating. Philippians 2 talks about it. Paul talks about it. He said, Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, in other words, it was in nature. He was God, the substance, the essence, God, divine. Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, he emptied himself of his divine rights and privileges for our sake. So he needed to live by faith just like you and I do, but without all of the knowledge of what was going to happen next. People are like, well, he knew what was going to happen to him. No, he didn't. He chose not to. And the only way he would have a sense of what he was supposed to do was to be in communion with the Father. I don't have that all figured out, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, how that dance works, but it works. And that's the thing. We have to turn down the noise. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. So I want to do something here for a couple minutes. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'll have my eyes open, but I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands or anything like that. But I want to speak some words over you for you just to process as it relates to this. So if you wouldn't mind, if you're uncomfortable closing your eyes, you can keep them open. But if you want to close your eyes, I'd like you to. Just listen to these words and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. The Spirit of God is choosing you and me to be his dwelling place. That means that the Spirit of the living God is inside me. I might wake up on a particular day feeling physically tired and stressed or impatient. And humanly speaking, those things would probably define my day. But the reality is that I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and because of this reality, stress and tiredness and impatience don't have to define my day. If you have received by faith the promise of the Holy Spirit, you are also his temple as you drive your children to school, as you go to work every day, as you embark on a new unknown season, as you go to school, as you face tragedy and pain, as you buy groceries, as you give of yourself in relationships, as you walk the dog, as you make decisions, as you live your life, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And there may be a third obstacle, your past. Maybe it's theology, lifestyle, shame, skepticism. I don't know what it might be for you. But as I look back over 40 years as a pastor and as a Christian, it'd be easy for me to be disappointed in God, but I have humbly sought to experience the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. And I think what God has done, what the Holy Spirit has been able to do with that is to help me see Romans 8:28 in all circumstances. All things work together for the good of those who are in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean all the things that happen to us are good. But we can begin to see God's goodness by being in communion with the Holy Spirit. And some of those things that will never be answered this side of heaven, we know, we trust through the assurance of the Holy Spirit in us that one day it's going to be okay. And then one last thing I want to say about this. Forget about his will for your life. And you're like, wait a minute. No, I mean, of course we should figure out God's will for our life. But sometimes I think we use, I'm waiting for God's will for my life as an excuse not to walk in the power of the Spirit right now, today. I love the way Francis Chan talks about this. He says, God cares more about our response to his Spirit's leading today in this moment than about what we intend to do next year. In fact, the decisions we make next year will be profoundly affected by the degree to which we submit to the Spirit right now in today's decisions. It is easy to use the phrase, God's will for my life, as an excuse for inaction or even disobedience. It's much less demanding to think about God's will for your future than it is to ask him what he wants you to do in the next 10 minutes. It's safer to commit to following him someday instead of this day. And several years ago, a friend of mine gave me a book called The 10-Second Rule, and it has been very helpful in holding me to this. And the premise of the book is if the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something, if you don't do it in the first 10 seconds, you're a lot less likely to ever do it. So something to think about. Well, listen, for you visual learners, I want to have a video. I'm going to show you a video here to end the service, but let me just give you a little bit of context for this video. Kim Nance, who's been a part of WCC since day one, who's one of the most spirit-filled Christians I've ever met, shares a story. And she was a 16-year-old, pregnant, scared, had an abortion. And her story, and through the leading of the Holy Spirit in her life, God has redeemed something that she carried shame about for over 40 years. And so I want you to just watch with me the power of the Holy Spirit's work in a person's life. Because I think when we, anyway, I'm just going to let you watch this and allow him to speak to you through it.
When I was 16, I got pregnant. And it was, even though I, you know, I remember saying, I want to have this baby, which I had no clue what that meant. You know, I know I didn't understand that. But there was a part of me that knew that was the right thing. I remember going to Planned Parenthood the first time and talking to a lady about that and told her I wanted to have the baby. And I remember when I went back, she, I guess, brought a lot of condemnation that I was being selfish. And I was only 16. I'm not for sure why I was at these appointments by myself. I probably thought I was, at 16, you think you're old enough. I remember being scared, and there was these, all these young girls at that time, and this has been about 45 years ago, so a long time, leaving there, and I knew it was different right away. There was something just broken and lost at 16, and I always believed I'd had to carry that myself. At church, you know, I was just so hungry for Jesus. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, but there's not room. You have this area that I had buried so deep and pretended like it didn't happen. We're not meant to carry shame, whatever the shame is. And very few people knew. And I went through, Deeper Still is a ministry, and there's different chapters, and Northern Indiana started a chapter a few years ago. I started at different times opening up to friends of mine. Like I said, the longer you keep it, it's harder to share. So I love when women come in. You know, we have women from 19 to 80 come for healing, and it's a little easier if you do it early and not keep that as part of your identity. I tried at different times, but I probably some fear or will they accept me? And so I started opening up before the retreat with different people in my life. Because I think I held it for so long. And I think at the timing of it too. And I have to, sometimes I beat myself up like, oh, if you would have said it sooner. But God's timing is perfect. And what he's doing now, I'm so thankful that I get to be part of that. I have a son in heaven. His name is Justin. And the Holy Spirit gave me that name because he's been justified. And I would just ask, don't let the shame continue in your life. Step out, ask for help. There are so many people that want to love on you and help you. And God is calling you for this time. We are living in an amazing time. I know it's scary out there, but God is doing miracles every day, and we get to be part of this. Be part of this. Step out and let the Holy Spirit lead you, and he will give you, he gives such good direction. He'll lead you to areas that you never thought that you would ever be able to do on your own. I'm not standing still. I'm running now forward. And it feels so good to run forward to Jesus and what God has for us.
So as the Holy Spirit would have it, I wrestled all week with whether or not to reach out to Kim, because, you know, I even had the phone in my hands, thought about emailing her just to say, hey, want you to know we're going to share this video Sunday. Are you okay with that? And I started getting this hunch that maybe later in the week, maybe I should even ask her if she would come up on stage after the video and pray. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And I, even this morning, almost texted her, and then I ran into her husband, Kevin, in the men's room before the first service. I said, hey, is Kim here today? And he goes, yeah, and I came in and talked to her. I said, Kim, would you be willing to come up and close our time together today? And she said, yes. So, Kim. Well, Kim, you said something earlier. You can come on over here a little bit. You said if I called you earlier in the week, you'd have chickened out. So it's from.
I'm thankful that for one thing, this was not. We talk about our gifts, and it's great to know some of your gifts, but this is not what I thought God's plan was for me. I'm so thankful that He didn't tell me ahead of time that I will be standing in front of my church and I will share my greatest shame and regret. So God is, He's a God of redemption. So even if it's something you don't think, I'm not gifted in that. I'm not gifted in standing up here speaking to people either. This is a Holy Spirit, and I'm so thankful Denny didn't, because I would have overthought it, and then I would have, like, in my head, like, oh, if I don't say the right thing. So I'm going to rely on the Holy Spirit, because that's all I have that is going to benefit you, okay?
Well, I just want to say a couple things about Kim. I've known Kim for a long time.
A long time.
And I remember she trusted Todd and I enough a few years ago to share this part of your life, you and Kevin both, part of your life together with us. And what God is now doing with that in your life, helping other men and women, is just remarkable. And so thank you. You've always been a prayer warrior, and you've always been very in tune and very kind about it. You would send me these emails and, like, don't take offense to this. I've never taken offense to anything you've said.
Good.
So would you close us in prayer today?
Sure.
Thanks, Kim.
So Jesus Christ, Lord, You're all we really have, and that is more than enough, Lord. So, Lord, we just call You, the Holy Spirit, forward inside of us, because we have it. Because of what Jesus did for us. We have that here. We call it forward, Lord, that You would, Holy Spirit, speak to each person here, because You love them so much. And just show them. I know they're hearing You call, but I know it's scary. And You're calling them to take the first step, Lord. I know with me, then You came and met me there when I stepped up to take that first step. So Jesus, give them a courage, because it does take lots of courage, Lord. And they have that. And Lord, what they will see is beyond anything they could ever have hoped or imagined. To see You work, Lord, and that You use us as weak, and we just don't have anything to offer without You, Jesus. So we just bless them, Lord. We bless them, and we just call. We just thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Kim. Thanks for coming. Have a great rest of the week. Hope to see you next week.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at www.warsaw.cc or follow us on any of our social media channels. Thanks for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.